So let's look at this. John chapter 13 here in our first Easter messages. It's Thursday evening. The northern part of Israel would celebrate the Passover on Thursday, the southern and Judah on Friday. So Jesus here is observing an early Passover. It's Thursday of Passion Week. The Lord Jesus is going to the cross. Before he does so, before he institutes the Lord's Supper, Jesus does the unthinkable. He washes feet. With only hours left to live, Jesus chooses to wash feet. If you found your place, would you stand with me? John chapter number 13. Let's read this passage. Brother Noel finished it out with this conclusion that we ought to love one another. And we love one another by serving one another. And spending that time as Jesus did, sacrificially serving. Look at verse number 1. John 13 verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of Passover, on this Thursday, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." I want you to notice that phrase in verse number 5. As John is sharing the story from a picture in his mind, he's using the present tense terms to bring you into the account. He says, now look here, Jesus is rising. Look here, Jesus is girding. Look, Jesus, he is beginning to wash his disciples' feet as he play by play recounts this act of service. I'm going to preach a message I've entitled, "Jesus Washed Feet." Jesus washed feet. Thank you for standing and may be seated. Think about that this morning. Jesus washed feet. Now, if you recall, it wasn't long ago there on Super Bowl. The He Gets Us campaign ran a 75-second ad. I don't know if you saw that. They spent over $7 million on this ad entitled Foot Washing. It's part of a larger campaign. Over $100 million was spent on this campaign. If you saw the ad, it was created by an advertising agency in Texas. It was a little bit unusual. It had oddly gathered, seemingly AI images of people washing the feet of others. And there was some controversy over some of it and how it was presented. And the tagline was this. I thought it was a little strange. The tagline was, "Jesus didn't preach hate." You see that? He washed feet. Now, while we rejoice that the name of Jesus came up in a Super Bowl commercial, I tell you that I rejoice in that, that in fact the name of Jesus was there. Let me be clear about the confusion. Be very careful in using an ad advertising agency to present truth. They're going to mess things up. But Jesus washing feet, all those pictures, that wasn't just an act of service, of getting along and going along. It wasn't just a little bit of a love show to others that you disagree with. It wasn't just some sort of example of love, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. You know, I'm going to just wash your feet and show my heart towards you. That's just part of the story. In fact, the deeper part was that it didn't excuse sin at all. In fact, it exposed sin. And that the fact that we get dirty and need to be washed. You see, this morning, Jesus does get us as our high priest. If we're saved, we have a high priest. Scripture says he is someone that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He does understand us, but that's not the point of the gospel. He doesn't get us, just get us. Before he gets you, realize that Jesus died for you. And Jesus rose again. So look at this passage, and this foot washing has nothing to do with just simply showing some sort of affection. It has everything to do with the gospel. It has everything to do with a picture of Christ laying aside his garments and coming to this world to die for sinners. It's amazing to think about what Jesus did that day. The God who created their feet was now cleansing their feet. The God that took man from dust now was taking dust from man. And Jesus went one by one and washed his disciples, 24 filthy, stinking, nasty feet. Why? Verse number one, he knew his hour was come. Verse number one, he loved them unto the end. Verse number three, he knew the Father had given all things into his hands, and he took those hands and he demonstrated humility. The hands that would be soon nailed to an old rugged cross. The hands soon in which all authority has been given unto him. He took those hands and he humbly washed his disciples' feet. He demonstrated humility. He demonstrated service. He also demonstrated the need for us to daily confess and be cleansed of sin. See, Jesus did more than wash the feet of the soles of the feet of men. He died for the souls of men. Revelation chapter 1 says this, unto him, verse 5 and 6, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In the final hours of his life, Jesus washed feet. Now, if you knew you only had a day to live, how would you spend your time? Jesus washed feet. He could have performed some final miracles. I would imagine through the 3.5 years of ministry, all the miracles that he did, walking on water, turning water into wine, he could have done that at the Last Supper. He could have taken the water and turned it into wine, saved a little bit of money there at the end of the day. He could have done the grand finale of miracles, the final demonstration to really bring everybody to belief in him. So when he went to the cross, he would have a large following. But Jesus didn't choose to perform some sort of dramatic miracle. Jesus didn't choose to publicly proclaim some sort of truth that would have drawn people in. He spent his final moments with those that he loved, and he washed their feet, and he showed them the heart of the gospel. He showed them what it meant to be a leader. Someone said this, it's been said that if serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. Here's the leader of all leaders who took time and washed feet. I heard of a governor who attended a church potluck. He stepped into line and he stood before the lady that was serving the chicken, and she handed him a piece of chicken, but he was hungry and he said, I'm going to need another or two or three pieces of those chicken. The lady said, no, this is a large crowd. We need to feed everybody. And the governor thought to himself and said, I don't normally do this, but I'm hungry, so I'm going to have to do this. Ma'am, do you know who I am? I'm the governor of the state. I'm going to ask one more time. Please give me another piece of chicken. She looked right back and said, sir, do you know who I am? I'm the chicken lady. And no, you may not. And I think that is a lot of times in our life. We do this stalemate of service. Too often we're caught up in who we are. Do you know who I am? I'm not going to do that. Do you know who you are? I don't care. You know, Jesus, verse number 13, notice, Jesus said, ye call me master and Lord. You say, well, I'm your master, I'm your Lord, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. We go to church, sometimes we think it's here to serve us and become professional consumers. We think our preferences and needs must be met. And I understand that we come here to get the help and get the needs met. I understand all of that. But we go to life, we go through life and ministry wondering what we can get out of it. I wonder who's going to come today and wash my feet. Please don't mess with my feet. I'm not asking for that. Unless I'm at the beach, that's the only time I ever want my foot washed. All right. You ever been there? You know, you walk out and your sandals are just caked with that sand and mud. But if you have the idea, hey, who's going to come and shake my hand today? Who's going to come and serve me today? I wonder how I can get my needs met. You don't have the perspective of Jesus Christ. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came with a perspective to this old world to save sinners, to die for others, and to serve and to show love to others. We go to work. Here's why we're not happy at work. We're going to see the secret of happiness today. We go to our place of work wondering what we can get out of it. And I understand all of us work and have a paycheck. I get that. But if your perspective is simply a paycheck, you're not going to have a happy place of work. Maybe you're in a relationship where it's all about you and what you can get out of it and what someone does for you. Let me tell you, friend, you're going to live a miserable life if you go to work, if you go to your home, if you go to church with a perspective and mentality is who's going to come wash my feet? Who's going to come serve me? I'm really going to be happy when somebody spends time in service for me. No, friend, Jesus says the opposite. You're not going to be happy when people serve you. You'll be happy when you serve others. As you walk through the text, we're going to see the heart of Jesus, his humility. We're going to see the gospel even presented with salvation, with the full washing and sanctification and the confession of sin with the foot washing. And we're going to see this secret of happiness. And it's all about serving others. It's all about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look again at verse number one. It says that Jesus knew his hour was come. First of all, look at his passion of heart. Look at his awareness and his affection. Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world. It was an awareness. Up until John 13, Jesus would say, my hour has not come. When Jesus would do a miracle, he would say, don't tell anybody about it. My hour has not yet come. Now his hour had come. The hour that he'd become sin for us. The hour of Calvary. The hour of the cross. His hour was the hour of salvation. He knew that his hour was come. Think about it. He knew about the scourging. He knew about the crown of thorns. He knew about the nails. He knew that he'd be beaten and blindfolded and bruised and bloodied and brutalized by the fists of men. And he knew what would happen. But the passion of his heart was to serve others. Do you serve like Jesus? Think about it. He knew that he was going to the cross. He wasn't worried. He wasn't wanting others to do things for him. He was still focused on others. How about this? Well, I would do that for others, but I've got something coming up. Jesus at the cross. I'm in the midst of helping you out here, but there's a call I need to take. Somebody else is more important. There's a meeting I need to attend to. There's that thing that I don't want to go to, but I'm going to go to. Sometimes it's those that are closest to us that we neglect the most. Jesus didn't go out and take bigger opportunities. He didn't go up to Pontius Pilate and try to wow him with miracles. He could have gone to Herod, who wanted to see the miracle and demonstrated something powerful. But no, he chose those that he loved closest to him. He put everything else aside, got down on his knees, and he washed those that he loved feet. Let's stop getting zoned out. Let's stop getting out of focus. The truth of the matter is, sometimes when we're about to endure trials, we get so distracted. When we are enduring trials, we get caught up in ourselves. We get so engrossed in everything else that we're encountering. When the reality is, the way out of that is the way down in service. The way down is up. Jesus had an awareness of what he was about to face, and he channeled that future problem into a present activity of service. And friend, that's the way out for you. Notice his affection. He loved his own, which were in the world. Look at that phrase. He loved them, what does the Bible say? Unto the end. Well, first of all, who are them? Well, the disciples. He's referring to all 12 at this point. The ones that were in the world. The ones that were the disciples. He's loving them to the end. What end? All the way through. Think about this. These are the ones who wouldn't follow him to the end. Only John would. But Jesus didn't just wash John's feet. You know, it's easy sometimes to wash John's feet. It's easy to serve those that are loyal to you and love you. It's easy to serve friends and family, but Jesus loved them all to the end, to the utmost, to the uttermost. He loved them to the end. He knew about Judas's betrayal. Verse number 2 says, the devil, having now put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. Jesus washed the feet of a disciple directed by the devil. He knew about Peter's denial. Verse number 37, Peter had said, I will lay my life down. The Lord looks at him and says, will you really do that, Peter? It's easy to serve a John. It's easy to love a John. But the Bible doesn't say he loved me to the end, although John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John wanted to include this account to remind the disciples that Jesus didn't have just this special service to John. Jesus loved them all. Jesus loved them to the uttermost. Jesus loved them to the extreme. Those that were unlovable, those that would leave him, those that were denied him. I'm thankful this morning that when I'm not faithful to him, he's faithful to me. I'm thankful this morning that Romans chapter 8 proves true in my life that when I have denied him, he cannot deny himself. But he is faithful. I'm thankful for a God who looks beyond my fault and meets my need. His unconditional love in a time of need. Jesus has that kind of love. Who do you love like that? There was no max on the love that he had for them. He went to John, Andrew, James, Matthew, Judas. John 6, verse 70, the devil all along. If you and I were washing Judas's feet, I would have skipped him. I would have taken scalding water, sanctified scalding water. I would have messed up some toes, took some of the dirt, splashed it on his toga. Jesus washed Judas's feet. We often serve if it's people we love, people that are loyal to us, family and friends. John loved him to the end, but Jesus loved all of them to the end. We wash faithful feet. We wash the feet of friends, not the feet of betrayers or faithless. Think about this. The night before Jesus was betrayed, he fed Judas. He loved Judas. He washed the feet of Judas's feet. And even when Judas betrayed him with a kiss, the Lord looked at him and called him friend. And that's not where it ends. Jesus died for the Judases of the world. He tasted death for every man. You see, he recognized that it wasn't Judas. We wrestled not against flesh and blood. It was the devil that put it into his heart. He even told him, go ahead and do it. You know, it's not just the good things that people do that work God's will for our life. But sometimes the bad things that people do bring us to the next place that God wants for us. Hey, that's a perspective. That's a heartbeat. That's a passion of love. And when you think about Jesus washing feet, friend, this morning, understand that he had an awareness of everything and everyone, yet he still chose to love them to the end. He still chose to serve them. Not just his heart, but notice his humility, his purpose of humility. Look at verse number 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. He knew he was in control. He knew that he had all authority. He had all power in his hands. Let me ask you this morning, how are you using your authority? To demand service from others or to serve others? How are you using your influence? Jesus had all authority, but he served others. How are you using your gifts? I'm going to ask you this morning, what is in your hands that you can use to meet the needs of others? Jesus, the perfect Son of God and God the Son, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, the sovereign King of heaven, humbled himself, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, not just served others and washed their feet. He died an old rugged cross to save you and me. But you think about this. Here's a leadership lesson for you this morning. He knew where he came from. Notice in the text, he knew where he was going. I found this. Those that have a happy, humble heart, those that serve are always usually the most secure. There's a book out called Good to Great, written by Jim Collins, about these companies that have level 5 leaders. And the level 5 leader is somebody that looks a whole lot like Jesus. Humble, serving, walking around others, meeting needs, making sure things are met. Hey, listen, friend, those that usually the most secure are those that serve others. Those that demand service are usually the most insecure. I want to ask you this morning, are you serving like Jesus? What's in your hands to serve? Well, I don't do that, preacher. It's not my job. I don't have a knack for that. Servants don't do what they necessarily have a knack for. Servants do what needs to be done. Jesus washed feet. He did that which was unappealing. Those that serve here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, hey, listen, there may be something you're excited about. There may be something you're interested in. I understand that. But you know that those that serve in the nursery, they may love babies. But I can guarantee you, there's nobody serving in the nursery that really loves changing diapers. If you do, you can come over to our house and you can volunteer for that role. There's nobody that shows up on a Sunday. Now, I may be one of those that enjoy cleaning. It gives me a sense of fixing here and there, but I don't necessarily clean. And those that come here and serve and clean don't do so because they really like the smell of bleach or ammonia. If you do, we've got a special program on Friday nights. But listen, I'm telling you, there's nobody that just really has that idea. Why do they clean? Why do they change diapers? Why do people move chairs around after the service and roll up the carpet? Is it because they enjoy that? No, because it needs to be done. That service, Jesus wasn't asked. Jesus wasn't told. Without being prompted, he volunteered to do the lowest job. At this time, you understand that when you would come through a house, as you would walk in, today we've got open-toed, closed-toed, and we've got shoes, and we've got things of that nature. But at that time, everybody walked around in the dirt and the muck and the mire and the dust and the water and everything that was going on. And every home had a pot of water at the front of the house. And as you walked into the house, the host would typically greet you with a kiss and offer you some oil. The lowest slave or servant would go and wash your feet. This was a rented upper room. There was no servant. They went into the upper room. They went into the house. They went into the meal. Now, do you understand, in those times, it wasn't like our table where we have chairs. They would have a low level table on the ground, maybe about 4 or 5 inches off the ground, and there would be couches all around, and they would lay down and eat. I think we need to go back to Bible times. That sounds like a great idea. But they would lay down, and as they were there, if you were laid down eating food right here, guess what? Somebody's stinky, nasty feet was right in front of you. And so it was customary. It was hygienic. It was a thing that was expected to wash feet, to have the slave or the servant wash the feet. They get into the house. There's no servant. Nobody volunteered for the task. They're at the dinner. Nobody had stood up. Nobody had stepped down. Nobody had washed feet. They already started the meal. They began to eat. That's when Jesus rises up from his place. He takes the towel in the basin. He had to go outside the home and bring it back in. And he had to leave his place. You know, friend, if you're going to go serve other people like Jesus, sometimes you've got to lay aside your agenda. You've got to leave your place. Folks don't want to leave their place. Some people at church don't want to lose their seat. Jesus left his seat. Jesus left his place. And not just that, Jesus left the glories of heaven to come to this world to die for sinners. And Jesus demonstrated that humility in his service. Think about it. At this moment, the context was Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. James and John were just, their mother just had come in and requested that at the kingdom, her sons would sit at his right hand and his left. Everybody's still wondering and wanting the position of the kingdom. And that's when Jesus gets up and he gets down and he washes the feet. But friend, this was more than a foot washing. This was a picture and perspective of heaven. Look at verse number 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I like Peter. Peter goes from one extreme to the other. Peter looks at the Lord and says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And the Lord says, you're missing the point and message. You see, Peter didn't want a humble Jesus. Peter didn't want a serving Jesus. He wanted a sovereign king. You see, the Jewish people didn't want Christ to come as a servant. They wanted Christ to come and destroy Rome. And so Jesus understands what Peter's saying. What he essentially is saying, don't go to the cross. What he essentially is saying is, don't die for my sin. Don't do that. You're king. You're more than this. You shouldn't be doing this. And the Lord Jesus says, look, if I don't serve you, if I don't die for you, if I don't humble myself and give myself to you, you have no part in me. He is speaking not only of salvation, he's speaking of sanctification and fellowship. That word part means fellowship. And Peter says, well, okay, then wash my entire body. Now, the Lord says, Peter, you're missing the point. You're missing the object lesson. Peter was somebody that usually missed the point. And so he explains to him, look at this. He that is washed needeth not to wash but his feet. He that clean every whit, you are clean, but not all. He says, now listen, there's two Greek words being used in the text. The first is a full body washing. He says, now think about it. If you get up in the day and you take a bath, if you go out, you don't need another bath. You wash your hands and you wash your feet. He says, now you're all clean. Not all of you. Not all of you have been washed. There's one here that's not saved. He says, all of you have been washed. All of you believe. But I'm showing you that even if you believe, there are times, and even those that are saved, we can step in something we need cleaning from. We can get involved in something that we need to wash with. And he says, now, Peter, understand what I'm doing. The full wash is salvation. The foot wash is confession of sin. I've never seen anybody with those silky shampoo for their hair at a beach shower. Why? Now, here we have bathrooms. We don't have baths. By the way, the Canadians call it the right thing. It's a washroom, all right. Well, we don't go to the bathroom and take a bath. I hope not, here at church. Here's what he's saying. When you're saved, you're saved. I'm thankful I got washed in his own blood. I'm saved from the inside and out. I don't need to get saved again. I don't need to go back to the first fruit. There is no repeated regeneration. You get saved, you're saved. But when you sin as a saved person, get your foot washed. The full washing is relationship with Christ. That never changes. The foot washing is our fellowship with Christ. And we ought to confess and be daily cleansed. Peter missed it. Jesus explained it. Look at verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he was set down again and said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Here's what he's saying. I have given you an example. By the way, this was an example. We are to follow his example. Now, two places in the Bible, we are given the command to follow his example. The first is in 1 Peter chapter 5 that relates to suffering. We're to follow his example in that he hung on a cross. We don't pursue death by crucifixion, but we do pursue obedience in suffering, even if it involves crucifixion that was sung about. We don't necessarily go out and wash people's physically dirty feet. But we should pursue humility in service. Do you see that? His expectation. I expect you to serve just as I have. Notice, he doesn't say do what I did. He says do as I did. It's the manner. It's the way. Many wonderful traditions, many wonderful places and people take this as a ritual and an activity. And I'm not going to necessarily go there. I understand all of that. But it's more than that. It's not a ritual. It's not that activity. It's an opportunity. I think about 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. When the widow indeed was to be counted in and taken in for full support, there was a qualification she would have to have. And it was this, that she washed the saints' feet. If it was a corporate ritual activity, she would have already been doing so. No, it wasn't just an activity. It wasn't just a ritual. It was an opportunity. She was somebody taken into that was known for serving others. And if she was known for serving others while she was here and while she was in church, then we ought to be known for serving her. That's the heartbeat behind it. Oh, it's more than that. It's an opportunity to serve. But finally, look at this. It's a promise of happiness. Verse number 17. If you know these things, happy are ye that do them. Did you know today that happiness is not the result of information, but application? Now, preacher, if I go around and I serve other people, if I go around and humble myself like Jesus did and meet people's need, if I love people like Jesus, I'm going to be used and abused and miserable. That's not what God wants for you. And by the way, nobody should ever be demanding of others for service. If somebody does that, walk away. But if you go and volunteer your service, if you go and you wash someone's feet, the Bible doesn't say you're going to be miserable. Jesus says, happy are ye if you do them. The happiest people I've ever met are humble servants who are not concerned with how people are washing their feet, but the concern of who can I help today? And you know that's true. I remember growing up in church, and there was a lady at our church, and she would just walk around and she'd give kids candy. She was a happy, sweet lady. She was just loving. I remember there was somebody out that would stand at the door and guard and guide and clean. I remember watching cleaners of the church. In fact, if you want to see some real joy, come here on a Monday or Tuesday and watch some cleaners. There's a piece about them. They're just kind of cleaning and taking care of things, and they're just happy. Why? They're serving and they're meeting needs. Do you understand today? Washing feet is not for a purpose for you to get something out of somebody. Jesus knew, well, I'm serving you, so you serve me. No. Jesus washed their feet, expecting nothing in return. And Judas went out to betray him. He still washed his feet. Peter went out to deny him. He still washed his feet. All but John, and even he followed afar off at first. All but John forsook him, but he loved them unto the end, and he washed his feet. Friend, today, often we only wash the feet of those who will wash our feet in return. Washing feet also surrenders our right to choose who we serve, when we serve, and how we serve. If you only wash the feet of those that wash your feet, you'll be a miserable person. If you only wash your feet when it's convenient, you'll never be a full servant. If you only wash the feet of something that you, and if you only do things that excite you and invigorate you, you won't stay for that very long. But if you go and in your perspective of life, go out and meet somebody's need and serve somebody, you're going to experience true joy and happiness. Well, what's missing in the story? Who washed Jesus' feet? We're never told who washed Jesus' feet, but later in the text, Jesus goes on and he says, if you receive those that are sent of me, you receive them as me. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaks to those that are on his right hand and on his left. And he says to those on his right hand, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they say, when did I visit you? When did I give you something to drink? When did I clothe you? And he says, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You see, it's left out in the story who washed Jesus' feet, because I believe the choice is ours. How do you wash the feet of Jesus? Go find somebody and serve them. Share the gospel with them. Jesus humbled himself, went to an old rugged cross, died for the sins of men. Those who would reject him, he died for them and shed his precious blood. How can you walk out today and serve somebody else with the heart of Jesus? As we close, somebody came up with a list, 50 ways to wash feet. Here are a few of them. Run errands for a friend. Bake a cake for a shut-in. Give $50 with a note of encouragement to a single mom or your pastor. And I'm kidding. No, but to a single mom. Don't do that. Or anonymously. Or someone the Lord has laid upon your heart. Confront a friend who's strayed from the Lord. Hug your children every day. Refuse to repeat gossip. Disciple a new believer. Give anonymously so a kid can go to camp. Intervene in a quarrel to be a peacemaker and bring two people back together. Bring or buy food for the food pantry. Compliment your employer. Keep a secret you really like to share. Spend your day helping a friend move. Change oil on a friend's car. Visit a nursing home. Counsel at the pregnancy center. Volunteer to serve in the nursery. Wash windows at the church. Read books to children. Share the gospel and smile. If you do those two things at the end, you're going to be happy. Share the gospel and smile. Wash feet like Jesus. You say, where's my takeaways this morning? Well, first of all, the main application is this. Let Jesus clean your feet. Have you found yourself walking and standing in something that is stinky? And let the Lord cleanse you. If you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, get washed in the blood. Maybe you're here today and you need a full washing. To believe in Jesus Christ, believe that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. We went out yesterday. We saw four precious souls trust Christ as Savior. Believing on Jesus. Even this last night, I was texting somebody who did not yet trust Christ as Savior, but he said, you know, thank you for talking to me. And I'm not just another door that you've knocked at, but I'm working through this. He's going to come to church next Sunday. He's moving in here from Middlesex. Pray for him. If you're not saved today, get a full washing. If you're saved, but you stepped in something, get a foot washing. And then go share the gospel and wash somebody else's feet. Take an opportunity to step out and serve. 1 John chapter 1 says that we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Today is St. Patrick's Day. We know that Patrick was actually, if you're saved, you're either a saint or you're an ain't. Only two options. Patrick wasn't a Catholic. Actually, before the Catholic Church. Patrick wasn't Irish. As I mentioned earlier, he was a British missionary. When he was 16 years of age, he was taken captive by those in Ireland. And when he was taken captive and forced to serve as a slave, he became angry, he became bitter, and hated the Irish people. He had a hatred to those that took him captive. When he went back to England, went back to Britain, he thought about all that hatred that he had to those that had oppressed him. And he finally decided, with the leading of the Lord, to go back and win them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The story of St. Patrick is a story of the gospel, as he took the shamrock and he preached God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He went to the king of the Druids and shared Jesus, and that one was saved. The story of driving the snakes out of Ireland had nothing to do with snakes. It was actually the story of demonic spirits that was sent out, because with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he shared Jesus with a heart of love, with a heart of service. I was reading a biography just recently and how he would go to a place and he would show the love of Christ. He would step out, he would serve, he would share the gospel with the power of the Holy Spirit, but he would go and serve and share Jesus and show love. And Ireland was one to Jesus Christ. Who will you win for Jesus this Easter season? By stepping out with a heart of love and a heart of service, with a shamrock in your hand, I don't know, but with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus washed feet. Whose feet will you wash?